Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Boy, I have managed the clock on today's radio show. I mean, like, they would put me in the bad clock management Hall of Fame. Me, Mike
you, and
McCarthy,
Les Miles.
Les Miles and Darren McFarlane. put us all in the bad clock management Hall of Fame. Is that fair, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, today's been a little bit worse than usual on your part, but that's
today's
okay.
Been bad. And I love Darren, but I mean, every time I talk about managing the clock poorly, Chase is like, well, you know, Darren. I guess I'm not trying to throw Darren under the bus. I love him, but go ahead and throw me in there with that. Anywho, so I actually was talking to Darren about this yesterday, and it is, I've learned in life that tone matters as much as anything else. That's why there's certain things you want to talk about over the phone as opposed to a text message.
For sure.
Because they can't hear the tone.
You can't hear sarcasm via text message.
Yes. So I was listening to you and David Beauclair when I was out the other day. And David Beauclair, very well respected, been in the market for forever, very even keel, had a burner of a take. And I was brushing my teeth, and I heard this, and I was like, what? And yet, nobody really talked much about it. And if I said it, it would be like the end of the world. And it has to do with Ryan Tannehill and why Ryan Tannehill is not playing well. Here's what he said.
The other side of it is he's not getting any younger either. You know, this is a guy who all of a sudden has a lot of money in the bank. He had no playoff appearances before he came here. He's got four playoff games to his credit. Now got, you know, played in a conference championship game. You certainly can't say he's accomplished everything in this league, but you know, is he maybe getting a little more comfortable in his life and not, you know, outside of being a football player? I think that's a fair question, a fair thing to wonder about, because that happened. You know, that happens to guys, mm-hmm. and you know, Mike Vrabel talked about, we saw it this offseason, guys like Kevin Johnson and Avery Jones, and there was like three or four guys who signed with the Titans, and within a couple months, all of a sudden they retire, right? They're out of football, and Mike Vrabel said it sort of hits you at a certain point that you're just not willing to do everything that you have done in your career to get ready. And you know, Ryan Tannehill wouldn't be the first guy to look around all of a sudden and say, boy, I got a really big contract right now that's put a lot of money in my bank account. I don't want to risk getting hurt the way I did previously. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. You're talking a 5% maybe reduction in terms of his willingness to compete or do something, or you know, stand in there that extra half second, whatever. It is all it takes to make a big difference in the NFL.
Oh my God. Basically, David Beauclair asked the question of whether or not Tannehill's too comfortable. Or as we used to say when it came to the Predators, and I accused the Predators of this, fat and happy. All these guys got their contracts. Johansson got his. Yossi got his, Ryan Ellis got his, Matt Duchene got his, PK had his, and all of a sudden, were they getting a little too fat and happy? And we asked, Kyle Turris got his, and I mean, he just asked, David Beauclair, and I love David Beauclair, but he just asked if the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, who makes $25.5 million every year and is the leader of the team. And he asked it in an honest way with the question mark at the end. And I guess it's a fair question to ask. But he asked if he's gotten too fat and happy to go out there and compete better to be the starting quarterback of the Titans because, well, he's got a lot of money now and he's already made the playoffs, so who cares? What? Like, if I said that, oh my God, if I said that, Twitter would go insane. They'd be like, Jared Stillman is calling out Tannehill when, I mean, look, I'm not going to say it's a fair question to ask because there's nothing about Tannehill that would make me think that Ryan Tannehill is not giving it 100%. I think he is giving it 100%. I just think for some reason his 100% is not good enough anymore. But the tone of which David Beauclair said that, and the tone in which sometimes I talk with on this show, that has to be the difference. Because if I said that, oh my God, it'd be a 4-hour topic. And it, oh my God, Reddit and Twitter and TitanBlog.com. And what's that website of those fanboys that always get mad at me? I can't even remember.
Broadway Sports?
That sounds about right.
They get mad
at
you.
Oh my God. Those guys, they're not even real media people, but they send out a tweet about me and they get all this. Oh my God. It'd be insane.
Well, and people know how to play the hits. And if you say anything bad about you, that's going to hit.
There's some truth there.
Yeah.
But like, wow, what a take from Beauclair. You think he's got something there?
I feel like that's a thing that exists 100%.
Exists with Tannehill or exists in general?
In the world.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
It 100% exists in
yes.
the world.
Yes. I don't know Tannehill. I mean, we see Tannehill in press conferences, and that's about it. And what we learn from Man in the Arena is you could put on a totally different face in press conferences. But I don't get the vibe that Tannehill's the kind of person that says, I have enough money in my bank account, so I can start to tone things back a little bit because paid.
I got two kids. I'm married. I got a house.
I got a nice house. I can send my kids to college, and we're comfortable. We can go to Barbados every year. I don't feel like I need to put in my 100% because I'm going to get paid no matter what.
I was at a bachelor party in Fort Lauderdale, and we were, like, deep-sea fishing. So we were, like, out there, like, you know. And when we were bringing it back in, mm-hmm. It was like in like, you know, this area of Fort Lauderdale where the houses on the water were just
bouge.
Like, oh, and I was like, I think Tannehill has a house out here. And the captain of the boat was like, yeah, that's Tannehill's house.
Was it fat?
It was dope. And so Tannehill's got, you know, he's got the kids and he's got the wife and he's got the houses and he's got the money and he's got, and the Titans have guaranteed the world to him. I mean, the Titans have basically just given him a blank check now and said, just go ahead and do whatever, Ryan. I just don't think that's Tannehill. I just, with every bone in my body, and I don't know Tannehill well, but with every bone in my body, I don't think that's Tannehill. I really don't.
I would have a really hard time thinking so.
I think there could be a lot of reasons why Tannehill's not as good as he normally is.
And we've listed a lot of very valid reasons.
Arthur Smith is not here anymore. Mm-hmm. Jonnu Smith is not here anymore. They've had no consistency at wide receiver this season. The Titans have lost Derrick Henry of late, though he was still struggling with decision-making before that. I think there's a chance Tannehill might be hurt and is not telling anybody that he's hurt.
That's fair.
There's a lot of things out there that I'd be willing to consider before I would say that Ryan Tannehill is mailing it in.
But I think that Ryan Tannehill...
And would you not say I am Ryan Tannehill's harshest critic this year?
Yeah, that's probably fair. And I think Ryan Tannehill loves the game of football. Loves the game of football. And I think he understands, you know, being a backup before in his career, that, you know, if you love the game of football, at any point it can be pulled from underneath you, because there are a lot of guys in this sport that love football and would love the opportunity to have one of 32 starting quarterback positions. And I think he understands that any day, if he starts to peel things back, if he starts to not give his 100%, his job could be taken from him. And I don't think that that's a risk that Ryan Tannehill would want to make. I don't think he's a half-assed kind of guy. I don't think he's the kind of guy that just collects the paycheck because, you know, it makes his life easier and, you know, however he performs, it doesn't matter. I don't get that vibe from Tannehill. I could be totally off. I don't know Ryan Tannehill as a person. I just don't get that vibe.
You know what I would say to Beauclair if I was on it when he said that?
What would you say to him?
I'd be like, you have to ask him that question at a press conference now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
you're going to put it out there in the world. You got
to
confirm it.
I hate to say it.
You got to see it through.
He's asking you about, you know, well, maybe Tannehill just, you know, 5%. Basically, that Tannehill cares 5% less, right?
Yeah.
Okay? You got to ask Tannehill that. And see, that's the thing. Like, I got, oh my God, the fanboyblogger.com, they went nuts when I asked David Poyle when they hired John Hines. David Poyle, you know, was doing his press conference, and he kept talking about New Jersey. Well, New Jersey told us that Hines is this, and New Jersey told us. So I asked David, I'm like, so if New Jersey likes Hines so much, why did they fire him?
I think it's a valid question.
And the fanboy media was like so bent out of shape. They were like, how could he say that during Hines' press conference? And I was like, because it's not his high school graduation. It is a press conference. It is a discussion with the media. That's what those are. So that's another aside. But I think like, if you're going to say it, like maybe you got to ask it. I'm just saying. I don't want to get on Bo Clare because I love Bo Clare. But, and I thank him for filling in when I was out. But that was a take now. I mean, that is rich. Like you're questioning, and again, I love Bo Clare.
Uh-huh.
But that was a question. He asked a question to you.
Mm-hmm.
He was questioning whether or not Tannehill's fully invested in the game. That is, you know, I miss the old broadcasters. Now, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck have started to kind of get into this,
uh-huh,
where they criticize a lot more than they used to. I mean, they really give people the business. But
because I feel like at a certain point when you have a certain, you know, distinguish.
Yeah, you don't care anymore.
But
the old announcers, they used to give people the business. And I'm just saying. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. That was a take. I love it. So we'll get your thoughts in on it. Do you think, 615-737-1025, do you think that Tannehill is too comfortable and that's why Tannehill is struggling? Plus, I have a Tannehill exercise that I am going to practice on the Titans bye week, so we'll get to that as well. 615-737-1025. Tune into the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 1025, The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine at Bellevue. The Game of the Week is this Sunday between the Ravens and the Steelers with a 3:25 kickoff. You, Titan fans, need the Steelers to win that game. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025, The Game. Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Tell all the fine folks out there, join Caroline Fenton tomorrow for Southeastern Carolines at 10 a.m. on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. She'll preview the SEC slate with Southeastern Carolines from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. She'll give you her picks of the day and get you set before kickoff around the South. And I guess there's only one game around the South, so everywhere else is.
Yeah, the game around the South. But yeah. I'll be doing Georgia-Alabama predictions, preview, and also a playoff prediction and talk as well. So
hot take.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'll be through with 2 Pizza Company in Germantown.
Interesting stuff. So David Beauclair questioned on the show the other day if Tannehill's fully invested 100%. I like it. I like takes, and or at least questions that are takes. I like that. At least he wasn't afraid to have that take. I think it's interesting. I think Tannehill is fully invested. He's just not playing well enough. I am going to watch all the other games, whether it's red zone or if I, you know, zero in on a game or two. And I am going to compare Tannehill's decision-making to these other quarterbacks. Like, do these other quarterbacks throw the ball right over the middle into the hands of the linebackers?
You could compare it to Taysom Hill's decision-making.
Taysom Hill sucks. So, you know, I'm not sure I want to do that. Let's go to your phones, though, on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
One texter texts in and says, that's exactly what happened to Albert Haynesworth in terms of collecting a check and sitting pretty.
Yes. Albert Haynesworth and Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, are not the same guy. And I like Albert Haynesworth, the guy. But, I mean, like, we've seen, like, Ryan, they have to teach Ryan Tannehill to slide. They have to tell Ryan Tannehill not to dive into the end zone with his throwing shoulder exposed. That is not a guy who is half rear-ending it out there. In my opinion, Tannehill's giving it 100% every game. Now, if Tannehill's holding something back because he's hurt, that I could see being... Tannehill didn't want to get the vaccine and got the vaccine because of the team. Like, if you were about, hey, I got my money, I got my life, I got things the way I want it, so I'm definitely not bringing the A game anymore. I don't think you're getting the vaccine if you don't believe in it, right?
I mean, because there are plenty of players who didn't get the vaccine because they didn't believe in it.
Right. Like, if Aaron Rodgers, if you were to tell me that Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing well, let's say Aaron Rodgers had a down season the way Tannehill has had a down season this year. I think we could very much discuss whether or not Aaron Rodgers is throwing himself a pity party. And that's why.
Because Aaron Rodgers is that kind of player.
Yeah,
he's the kind of person that would sacrifice anything for his greater good.
He's a crybaby. And Ryan Tannehill is not a crybaby. And so that's kind of why I feel like I think Tannehill every week is giving it everything he's got. It's just right now his best, for whatever reason, is not as good as his best was last year and is not as good as his best was the year before that. It's just not good enough. But I think he's giving you his best. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, I want to know about Henry's recovery.
Okay, so I was thinking about this today. The Titans aren't going to tell you anything, and he's not going to tell you anything. So if he's not going to tell you anything and the Titans aren't going to tell you anything, then there's nobody who's going to tell you anything. I think this. I think the Titans are optimistic that Derek will come back. I think, what is it, Tuesday will be 5 weeks since the break?
I believe so.
Because they went 2-0 and then 2. So it'll be 5 weeks since the surgery on Tuesday. They should have an idea probably within another week. Now, I was thinking about this today. I do feel like the Nashville media needs to find like an Ahmad Rashad to essentially be the mouthpiece for Derrick Henry. You know, like when the when NBC had the NBA in the 90s, Ahmad Rashad, who was a former football player, actually played for Floyd, Ahmad Rashad was like the official mouthpiece for Michael Jordan. Now, we all know that he and Michael were like best buddies, which made it easier. But I actually think that's a good thing. I think in general, like if Ahmad Rashad was an investigative reporter, then I would say, okay, like you need to not be buddy-buddy with Michael. But when he was a sideline reporter, which was essentially the official spokesperson for Michael, I'm okay with him being Michael's buddy. So when Michael's not talking to anybody because the press is talking about Michael Jordan's gambling, they still have Ahmad Rashad.
Right.
And I, you know, they, if you watch like these old NBA games on YouTube, which I spent a majority of the summer doing, you'll see they come back, they do the starting lineups, Marv Albert, Bob Costas, you know, it's like, all right, now we go down for a report. We send it down to Ahmad Rashad. Ahmad, thank you, Bob. I talked to Michael Jordan, and he said that the big key in this game is going to be rebounding. If they can rebound in the fourth quarter, they've got a shot to take care of this game. And now, let's send it over to Jim Gray on the Knicks. So, like, the other reporter covers the other team, and Ahmad covers Michael. And so, we, the Nashville media, need an Ahmad Rashad, who is essentially the mouthpiece for Derrick Henry. Because Derrick doesn't talk, and so we need somebody to do the talking for Derek. Jeff Darlington is that way for Tom Brady. That if Jeff Darlington says Brady says something, Brady thinks something or feels something, chances are it's coming from Brady. And I think we need that with Derrick Henry locally.
That's not a Diana Russini report that says the team is optimistic.
No.
I want Derrick Henry's best friend.
Yes.
To report what Derrick Henry is saying.
I think Derrick feels like. That's what I need. I need one guy in the media that's like, I think the key here is Derek thinks that they're not. That's all I need. Some guy that's buddy-buddy with Derek. And it's not going to be me, but I need somebody.
And it's not going to be anyone from within the Titans.
No. It's got to be, again, it's like Ahmad Rashad. That's, honestly, we may employ the one guy who has the potential to do that, to be the mouthpiece for Derek. But I'll worry about that at a later date. Ellie is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, I don't think Tannehill's tanking. I think he's just trying to stay healthy for the playoffs. If you want someone who's tanking, look at Russell Wilson. That is tanking. Thank you.
So I don't think Tannehill, thank you, Ellie. I don't think Tannehill is trying to stay healthy for the playoffs.
I don't
think Tannehill is worried about getting hurt. I think like though a guy like Tannehill is like, well, he can't play football scared. I think Tannehill's playing 100%. Now, I think there's a chance that they're both hurt.
They're both playing, if it is such a stark contrast from what you've seen them do in the past, what they're doing now, something's got to be up. I mean, I think with Tannehill, like, I hear the you cannot play football scared, and we're not going to get to the playoffs if we don't win these games right now. We don't win these games right now unless I give my 100%. But I do wonder if there's a little voice in the back of Tannehill's head saying, look, Derrick Henry's down, A.J. Brown is down, Bud Dupree is out, Julio Jones is out, this team needs me. And I don't think that he is tanking, but I do wonder if there's a little bit of fear there.
No, I don't think there's a voice in his head saying that. I think that voice is Mike Vrabel.
Also Mike Vrabel.
I think that voice is Mike saying, don't do dumb blank to hurt the team.
Yeah.
That
and
is,
you getting hurt would hurt the team.
That is what I think you're looking at. 615-737-1025. Full slate of games in the NFL. Have you seen the Fox Sunday schedule?
I haven't looked, no.
Oh, my God. They were talking about it last night on Thursday Night Football on the postgame show. And Terry Bradshaw, and then they were breaking down Washington versus the Raiders. And I was like, why is Terry Bradshaw talking about Washington versus the Raiders? And then they flashed all the games on the screen that was like, this Sunday on Fox.
Are they cheeks?
Cheeks. I mean, honestly, it's Washington and the Raiders.
Oof.
Is their number one game. They got the Rams and the Jags.
Oh.
They've got the Falcons and the Buccaneers.
Ew.
It's just brutal. Fox's schedule is horrendous.
Oh, that's tough.
So there are some games that affect the Titans. We'll get our thoughts on those coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. TriStar Moving. My official movers. That's right. I absolutely loved moving over a year ago with TriStar Moving. They did a great job, and I can promise that they will do the same for you. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians. I know them, and I know how much they care about TriStar Moving and how much they care about doing the job done correctly. That's why they're TriStar Movers with five-star service. They offer home protection, covering your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They're always upping the game when it comes to mover training. And again, my move was just absolutely flawless. This company is on the rise quickly because of the standard they hold. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call. 615-640-1219. NationalMoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. NationalMoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you, my official movers. Stillman and Company, ESPN 1025, the game here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I'll have to tell you about Fireball in just a second, but I do want to say this. The Fox schedule is out. Buccaneers, Falcons.
Cheeks.
Bears, Cardinals.
Cheeks.
Giants, Dolphins.
Cheeks.
Raiders, Washington.
Cheeks.
Jags, Rams.
Cheeks.
Like, if I'm Joe Buck, I'm like, no, I'm done after the Cowboy game this week. Like, I'm not.
I've done enough.
I'm not going back to
You've
work.
Done enough damage this
yeah,
week.
No, I'm good. I'm good there.
But the Monday night game is a great game, Patriots at Bills.
Sure, but that's not on Fox.
No, I know. It's on ESPN. It's a Monday night game.
I was just highlighting how bad the Fox schedule is. I do want to get to the games that affect the Titans, because there are a lot of them, shockingly. They're just on CBS and ESPN. But first, I want to tell you about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I'm a huge Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey fan, as you all know. I have been igniting the night for years, and I absolutely love it. And the best way to do it is to do it responsibly. So again, ignite the night. Big time to get stocked up for the holiday party. You got to make sure you got Fireball available. And Fireball Goes is a great gift. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. So we'll pick these games in six-pack picks in just a second. Chargers-Bengals. That is a noon kickoff on CBS. I think you want the Chargers to win if you're a Titans fan. The Chargers are 6-5. The Bengals are 7-4. If the Bengals win, they will be tied with the Titans. And while I don't consider the Bengals as a team that could win the AFC, I certainly don't want the Bengals to get a better matchup in the first round of the playoffs than the Titans. So I would be rooting for the Chargers if I'm a Titans fan. Colts, Texans? I mean, you want the Texans to win. The reality is, if you can win three more games this season, so Texans aren't good, Jags aren't good, Dolphins and 49ers are better but still not good. If you can just win three games this season, you win the division no matter what Indianapolis does. But you could probably root for the Texans there. Wouldn't be the end of the world if Indianapolis lost that game. Giants-Dolphins, again, the Dolphins have won some games. They're 5-7. I'm not really all that worried about them, but I guess you root for the Giants, NFC team. Daniel Jones, I don't think, is going to play in that
most
game.
Most likely is out. They brought in Jake Fromm, but they already started. It already stated that Mike Glennon will start this game.
So here are the three important ones. Ravens, Steelers. That game's right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's the game of the week. Steelers, you got to have win. Steelers are 5-5-1, so really not that big of a threat to the Titans, but you still get your shot with the Steelers. And if you were to be able to play the Steelers and get the tiebreaker from them, then the Ravens would be down a game. And right now, technically, the Ravens are a half game ahead of the Titans. The Ravens are 8-3. The Titans are 8-4. So you need the Steelers to win that game. That's a big one. Steelers-Ravens. You need the Steelers to win. The game is in Pittsburgh. And the one thing I will always say is Steelers-Ravens is always a game. No matter how good one team is or the other, it's like a college football rivalry. It is always a close game. It is always a physical game. And quite frankly, I don't think much about the Ravens. I don't think as much about the Ravens as their record would indicate. Broncos-Chiefs, Sunday night football. The Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites, but Denver's only a game behind Kansas City.
That's wild.
Denver 6-5, Kansas City 7-4. Right now, a Kansas City win would put them at 8-4, which would put them on par with you. Now, you have the tiebreaker over Kansas City, but the big deal here is Kansas City's red hot and half your team's on IR. So it'd be really nice to get a game from the Broncos that could kind of help the Titans move themselves down along the way. And then the Monday night game. Now, this is tricky. Patriots-Bills. Patriots are 8-4. Bills are 7-4. By the way, all these people that are like, the Titans got a late bye. Patriots don't seem to be having a problem with their season. But that's neither here nor there. Buffalo's favored in the game. And the game is in Buffalo. And it's on primetime. Mac Jones, whatever. I think if you're a Titan fan, you really need the Bills to win this game. And then this is what's crazy. The next three games for Indianapolis, or for New England, at the Bills, at the Colts, Buffalo at home. I think you need Buffalo to win the first one. I think you shockingly need Indianapolis to win the second one. And then I think you need the Patriots to win the third one.
To balance out that Buffalo?
Yes.
That other Buffalo game?
Yes. But you need Buffalo to win the first one in order, because you got the tiebreaker on Buffalo.
Right.
So you would be 8-4, they'd be 8-4, Patriots would be 8-5, Patriots would be out of the division lead, and then you would immediately bump up to number two in the AFC. So let's say Kansas City wins, and let's say Buffalo wins.
Mm-hmm.
You're number two. And we went over what the road is right now for the Titans. The road for the Titans to the Super Bowl would be a game against Buffalo at home, followed by a trip to Foxborough, followed by the winner of the Ravens and the Chiefs. Chiefs would be here, Ravens would be there. I don't like that road. I think you got to get an easy game in there somewhere, whether it is to win the AFC and get the first round bye, or whether it would be you're the number two seed and you draw that last AFC team that gets in, whether it is the Chargers, whether it is the Broncos, whether it is the Raiders, which those teams aren't going to be pushovers, but I'd rather play that team or the Steelers than have to play, you know, Buffalo and Josh Allen in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing here is, can you knock the Patriots down a notch or two? Because they've been the hot team. And what have we seen with so many hot teams in the NFL? As soon as you get hot, you get right back down.
Yep.
And I just don't know if that necessarily, if that narrative fits a Bill Belichick-led team. Because I just think that mindset on that team is different. But I think the most important thing is if you can knock the Patriots down as much as you possibly can. And I think the Colts and the Bills both have legitimate chances to beat that team. That just sets the Titans up for so much more success.
So I'm just saying, like, I feel, and I'm not trying to, you know, fearmonger or what, that's what I think you need to have happen. So it is funny you bring up the fact, we talked about the Fox schedule and how brutally awful it is.
Oh, it's bad.
I don't know what the local TV showing schedule is going to be here in town, but I mean, I think Chargers, Bengals, there is some, you know, Titans, there's some Titans there. This big game on CBS,
mm-hmm.
Steelers, Ravens, big Titans implications, Sunday night Titans implications, Monday night Titans implications. And now we'll pick these games next. Six Pack Picks comes up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Invigorate Health. That's right, my guys. I went to Invigorate Health today. They're online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. I actually went in there and I told them I was tired because I went to the Predators game last night. And they were like, get an IV. And I was like, really? They're like, yeah. I'd never done it before. So I had the executive package, IV therapy, right there in the arm. I got to tell you, it was quite the experience. And I think I have been pretty on fire today hosting the radio show. Now, they've got semaglutide. So for a lot of people out there that are trying to lose weight, semaglutide is the answer to your prayers. The reality is, and I hate this too, and I've always been a big guy my whole life, but it's always calories in versus calories out. And if you are a bigger person, that is something that you've been told for years. And it doesn't matter because you just can't stop. Whether it's binge eating, whether it's comfort eating, semaglutide will help. It is a safe drug. It has been approved by the FDA. It has been prescribed for years to diabetic patients, and now it's available to people like you. It's simple, and it is exclusively provided by Invigorate Health. Invigorate Health is online at InvigorateHealthTN.com, where you can read up all about semaglutide. You can ask your doctor. I asked my doctor before talking to you. She said it's a great drug. That's semaglutide, exclusively carried by Invigorate Health, online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. Stillman and Company, big games this weekend. We just went over them. Bunch of Titans implications. So it's time now for Six Pack Picks presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Caroline, I actually went along with a lot of your picks, which made me very uncomfortable last
week. Probably should have been because I'm terrible at this game.
You are awful at picking NFL games. Yeah, Ian, how bad was the damage last week?
Let's see. Last week you were all picked the same games. Except Caroline picked the Titans to win.
You picked the Titans. I lost my mind when
I heard
that. And
Jared picked the Patriots.
Okay.
And I did hear one thing. Jared picked Houston. You gave Chase some type of ability to smack you in the behind with a paddle because you listened to Joe Rexroad. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Let us not forget that one.
I was driving in and Joe was like, the Texans with Davis Mills are so much worse than the Texans with Tyrod Taylor, and I was like, oh yeah, makes sense. Texans, Jets, all right, I'll take the Texans. And I was like, but if I make a pick
Dingus.
Because Joe says something, you can smack me in the rear end with a paddle. So what?
So yes, Jared went 5-1. Caroline went 4-2.
Not bad.
Season record, Jared is at 42-29-1. Caroline is at 27-44-1.
You know what? I'm not even mad about it. 4-2 is the best I've done in some time.
That's a way to find the silver lining. I am going to start going by my new nickname, Jared the Greek.
I hate it already.
That's going to be my new nickname.
Nobody's going to call you that.
Jared the Greek. Let's do it. Six Pack Picks.
Okay, we will start with a decent game here.
Are we avoiding Fox this weekend?
Well, without the Titans, we have to pick a little bit extra here. We're down a game, so we got to find an extra. But we will start on CBS, noon, Chargers at the Bengals, over under 49.5. We have Cincy -3.
I'll go first. I'll take Cincinnati. I don't like the Chargers playing noon games because that's 9 a.m. their time. And quite frankly, the Chargers just feel off this year. Like, they should be better than they are, and I feel like they win one, lose one. They're like the Predators of the NFL. I am going to take the Bengals with Joe Burrow. I think they get it done. Give me Cincinnati.
Now, I was going to take Cincinnati, but since you took Cincinnati, I am going to take the Chargers. I'll take the Chargers +3.
Why?
I think this will be an interesting game, though. Honestly, why? Just because you took the Bengals. That is the only reason why.
Oh, you're trying to catch up.
Sure. I just would like to distance myself after you called yourself Jared the Greek. I'd like to distance myself from any of your opinions.
Jared the Greek?
Exactly.
Okay, yes, we are going to Fox for the next two games.
Ooh.
Cardinals at the Bears, noon, Fox, over under 42.5. Arizona -7.5.
Ooh. I'm going to take the Bears to cover 7.5. I do think that Arizona wins, but Kyler Murray is still questionable, I do believe, for the Cardinals. So I think if Kyler Murray does not play, the Bears are going to be able to keep it tighter, at least more than 7.5, because that's a pretty wide spread.
I will take the Bears for this reason. And, like, fans, you know, like the Barstool bro-y fans will get all worked up about this. Andy Dalton gives the Bears a better chance to win than Justin Fields does.
Why?
Because he knows how to play quarterback in the
NFL. He's a veteran.
And Andy Dalton was the difference in the game on Thanksgiving. I mean, he was the difference in the game. And I think people got to understand that the Bears are in better shape with Andy Dalton. Now, Fields isn't going to get any better, you know, if he's not out there playing with reps and stuff like that. But they're going to lose if Fields plays. Andy Dalton plays. They're still going to lose. I think the Bears will cover the 7, though. I think it'll be a little bit closer. Give me Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Okay, continuing on Fox. Washington at the Raiders, 305. Over-under on this game, 49.5. Vegas, -1.
I guess I will take... I'll take Washington. I like what Taylor Heineke's been doing so far. Give me Washington.
Yeah, I think that Washington is going to be able to upset the Raiders. I think after what we... I mean, the Seahawks are not a great team. I think we've learned that pretty early on in this season. But Washington being able to get that win, what was that, Thursday night last week? I think that Washington has kind of got their groove. And I like what Taylor Heineke's been doing. I think the Raiders peaked way too early this season, and they're just on a slow incline downward.
Okay, back to CBS for the afternoon game. Ravens at the Steelers, 325. Over-under, 44. Baltimore, -4.5.
I'm going to take the Steelers in this one. I mean, the Ravens got really lucky in that game against the Browns last week. I mean, Lamar Jackson did not look good. And the only reason why the Browns didn't win that game is just because the Browns offense can't really get anything going. So I think I'm going to take the Steelers here. I'm not a big fan of anything Big Ben's been doing, but Najee Harris has been pretty lights out so far this season.
I think the Steelers, too. I think these games are close. I think this is going to be a close one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens win at the buzzer, but I will take the Steelers in this game. Plus, Steelers got embarrassed last week. Usually you respond with a pretty good game. Tomlin's a good coach. Mm-hmm. I'll take the Steelers.
Okay, to the Sunday night game, AFC West Showdown. Sunday night football, 720 NBC. Broncos at the Chiefs, over under 47. KC, -9.5.
I will take Denver. I mean, Kansas City, everybody thinks Kansas City's got their groove back. But, you know, they beat, like, Dallas didn't have receivers when they played. And Denver's got a defense. Like, Denver's got a defense, and Teddy Bridgewater is not going to lose that game for Denver. Now, he may not win the game for Denver, but he's not going to lose the game. So we're going to see if Kansas City's back. I think Denver slows down that explosive offense. I think Denver gets enough offensively because Kansas City's defense still isn't great. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but I don't think it's going to be by double digits. I'll take Denver.
I mean, 9.5 is a really tough spread. I think I'm going to take Denver as well because I think it may be the difference of a touchdown, but 9.5 is a lot. Chiefs win this one, though. I mean, the Chiefs are coming off of a bye. Andy Reid off of a bye. Give me the Chiefs to win, but the Broncos to keep it closer than 9.5.
Okay, that brings us to the final game. Monday Night Football, ESPN 715. Over-under, 42.5. Patriots at the Bills. Buffalo, -2.5.
I'm going to take the Patriots to win this one. The Patriots have been on a heater. And if you offer me Josh Allen and Mac Jones, I probably take Josh Allen. But the Bills have been a hot and cold so far this season. The Patriots are on an absolute heater. And I think Bill Belichick knows what to do in big games like this. And he knows what's at stake in terms of the playoff picture in the AFC. So I think the Patriots win this one.
I think the Bills are going to win. I think the Bills are going to win this game. I think it's going to be a big statement game for the Bills. I think they're going to put the game in Mac Jones' hands, make him keep up with Josh Allen. I don't think he will. I'll take Buffalo. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Moneyline is next.